cliffcentral.com.
Song. So it's Clean Bandit song. And you don't like it? Symphony, you don't like it?
What?
I mean, someone made that in 3 minutes.
Ben, what's your favorite song right now?
I don't have one.
There's and it has to be
many musical influences throughout my day.
It has
none
to
of
have
them sound like
been
that.
Made this year or late last year. Nothing. You probably
no. There's lots, but
I can't get enough of the weekend. I can't get enough of it.
Oh, it's you and Lucas.
Yes, that's good, right?
Isn't that I good? I was listening to his album on my way here, on the way to Mozambique. He is fantastic.
Lucas was likening the weekend to Michael Jackson.
But he is a lot like Michael Jackson.
Yep, he is. He's stunning. And now his daddy shows
stunning.
Up because he sees he's making it.
His dad is pitched up?
Yeah, I know. Like, oh, God. I would have turned him back. I'm like, dude, when I was a street kid, where were you?
Well, we've got Joseph Jackson
on
the line
the weekend
to
was
talk about this. Joseph, go. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, how are you?
Oh,
fine, thank you. You don't have to shout at me. It's fine. We can hear you properly.
I just want to say that I don't think there's anything wrong with the weekend's daddy pitching up suddenly. I totally understand the reasons for his keeping quiet for so long and not being involved in his children and their growing up, and then him suddenly coming out of the woodwork because his child has done well. He wants to be part of the celebration. He wants to be part of. He made that goddamn child. He's allowed to be there for him.
Oh. But don't you think it's a little suspicious, Joe? I mean, you at least were part of the reason your children were successful.
Damn straight I was.
You forced them to carry the bricks from what?
From one side of the yard to the other side of the yard. And then in the evening, they'd have to take them back the other way.
Now, I mean, you know, it's almost like concentration camp style training, but you know, your kids grew up with a work ethic, right?
Oh, you know what you're talking about. I'm so glad that other woman isn't there today, because she always argues with me, telling me how wrong it was that I made my children work from age 3.
Are you talking about my bunny?
Yeah, I heard she wasn't in today. That's why I decided to call.
Now, Joseph, the weekend's dad didn't involve himself at all in disciplining his children when he was, he wasn't even there. He was like a deadbeat dad. He just disappeared off the scene. And don't you think that's slightly different?
Yes, I think perhaps he should only take 42% of all the record sales. I took 58% of all the record sales, and I'm trying to get my hands on the other whatever's left, 38%. 30, 32, 40, I can't, my math ain't good because I was too busy, I was busy with the children, training them up to be singers. That's why I had so many of them. It was meant to be the Jackson 20, but so many died in childbirth that poor old Catherine only got about 5 of the boys anyway. The girls was useless at that stage, except for Latoya. We thought of renting her out as a sex, kind of a sex worker. But the other children, well, there's only 5 who could work. Jermaine, Tito, Marlon, Michael, and
Jermaine,
Jackie. I always forget Jackie. You know, cause his name is Jackie Jackson. I thought it was funny when we called him that, but now I can't even remember his name. Listen, you got some money for me?
Wow. What? You've got more money than all of us, Joe. You got to be kidding. You're like the father of Michael Jackson. And you were the one who you asked for money when he died, and you got Blu-ray records.
Well, we don't have Blu-ray records no more because no one signed to it. The only one who was signed up was Latoya.
Yeah, that's disappointing. I mean, surely you had some of Michael's back catalog.
No, those white children of his have got the money.
Mr. Jackson.
What? The white children, those are his children.
What are you, fucking stupid?
Oh. Mr. Jackson, have you ever thought of maybe signing up Taika Nelson?
Who that?
Prince's sister.
Prince's sister?
Yes, yes. Because, you know, now they have, you know, ownership over the catalog as well. Possibly,
what?
If the courts have their way.
If I sign her, do I get his records as well?
You could. This could be your first step to making that happen.
Or if I sign her, do I have to play? What is her music like?
Oh, well, let me just tell you, that Miss Tyka Nelson is a firebomb. She's...
What's her most famous hit?
Ooh, it's Boom. Have you never heard of it?
Tell me how it goes.
Well, let's spare the people today.
Boom, 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 gonna hear about your scene. Walked in the studio to lay down some chairs.
I think Joseph just dropped the line. Even the least talented of the whole Jackson family can tell that that's terrible.
Well, I have something interesting to share just in a second.
So the weekend's dad is pitched up out of nowhere, huh?
Yeah, out of nowhere.
Was he on the steps at the Met Gala? Like a homeless person, he came up out of nowhere.
You look like you don't really well. I'm your father.
You know when you're watching the cartoons and you see the vultures waiting for some animals to die? He was just chilling like,
So the whole situation is, firstly, he's now speaking to the press, which I'm sure if you're trying to get a relationship with your now famous son.
Talk to your son, then talk to the press.
Exactly. But he's now saying he just wants to meet his son to be able to look him in the eye, to be able to tell him how proud he is of him.
Here he is. Listen to him.
Ugh.
I might do that, yes. That'd be very painful if somebody hit me in the balls, especially a horse or a cow or whatever the case might be.
Oh, so disgusting. He says things like, The Weeknd looked like just like him when the
Did
Weeknd...
Did he name him The Weeknd?
Well, that's not his real name, of course.
Did he leave him on The Weeknd?
Maybe, actually. He says when he was a year old for his first birthday party, they played Michael Jackson's Beat It. And that's when he knew that like his son would go into music. And listen, he left when The Weeknd was 12 years old. Mind you, The Weeknd started smoking weed at that age, was homeless at 14. And was already then, as a teenager, homeless and taking painkillers, cocaine, mushrooms, Xanax, you name it. So what are you going to say as a father exactly when you left your kid at 12 years old?
Well, first thing you should do is, I'm sorry. That would be a good place to start. Here's a message from Migs Lucas. Are you the black rabbit that drives around Johannesburg in the midnight mystery, protecting us from evildoers?
Well, if there's a new job for a superhero, maybe I must call myself
the Black Rabbit.
The Black Rabbit.
Cyril is a chop, running up and down both sides of the fence, hoping for a treat. That's what somebody said about that story Ben told us about earlier with Cyril Ramaphosa. He's running up and down both sides of the fence, hoping for a treat. Now that's one hell of a thing to call him. How to heat your room with candles? Alistair just sent me a link, and apparently it is possible to do that.
See.
Interesting.
I Temba, am crazy.
Well, I think you're still crazy.
I'm 50 Shades of Romance.
Temba says, guys, I'm not going to be able to deal with getting old. The thought of knowing that you will be dead soon can't be nice. I plan on smoking weed every day in my old age just to take my mind off thoughts about death, unless my religious connection improves.
That's very honest, hey?
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, Rusty says, if I go... it has to be as my granddad, quietly in my sleep, not screaming and burning like a passenger in a car. Carla says, Ben, they started building Dazulza in 2002. Almost all the break-ins happened in the first few years.
Yeah, I can imagine with all those unfinished houses. It makes
a lot
builders,
sense. Builders.
Builders coming in and out.
Greg says, morning, guys. I haven't had a moment yet to send a message, but happy birthday for you, to Cliff Central for Monday. Been with you since day one. Even watched when you were on TV for those few days. You've come and changed the game, and well done for that. I've always known this was something special. Everybody knows I'm a massive fan, and I use the knowledge I get on here as my own, and I sound smarter, which is always helpful. Ha, ha, ha. Anyway, well done, and keep it up. You're allowed to do that. You don't have to credit us. Supernova says, scary story. Brother is a loan consultant at a bank. Three guys applied for a loan with fake ID documents. On the telephone application, my brother gave the secret word to notify the listener and not to scare off the applicant with fake ID docs. Police notify and come and fetch them in the branch. The next day, my brother goes to work, and guess what? Two of the three guys are waiting for him at work. They threaten him to not testify. There's no witness in the case.
Oh, you see, guys,
that's hectic.
This is a crime investigation story. Wait, okay, no. Let's not call it out to be, but just stay away from
bad,
crazy.
Right? That's scary.
People,
that kind of thing happens. All right, it's time for us to know thy balls.
Well, know thy nuts.
No, they're nuts. But I mean, you know, we're talking about balls. And this is not some, this is not a joke. We're not doing this for fun and games. We're doing this for our health. Dr. Elna McIntosh has been with us many times on the show. She's explained to us all kinds of complicated and not so complicated issues that go on with genitals, with sex, with all the rest of it. Prof, is it prof or doc? What do you prefer, prof or doc? Prof? Hang on. Let's bring her in here, Lucas. Let's talk to Elna McIntosh. She probably doesn't care about the title at all, but I do. I want to get it right. Cases of testicular cancer, gentlemen, have doubled in the past 10 years, and that's what we need to do to stop it. Start talking about it, get you examining your balls and all the rest of it. During April, which is recognized as International Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, the Men's Foundation of South Africa, a registered NGO and the official licensee to the Global Men's Health Awareness and Fundraising Program, Movember, challenged men to take a proactive interest in their health by checking their testicles. A discipline that should be practiced year-round, according to the NGO. According to Prof. McIntosh, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer affecting men, and statistics indicate that this form of cancer generally affects younger males aged, listen to this, 15 to 45.
Wow, that's all of us.
Wow. Yeah.
It's even Sia.
Wow.
That's everybody, so you don't think that you don't have to worry about your balls. Any age, you have to be paying attention to this stuff. So is it prof or doctor? What do you prefer here?
I'm a professor extraordinaire. Yo. Lovely title.
Professor extraordinaire.
Don't want to pay you, they give you a
extraordinaire.
Title. Extraordinaire.
All right. Yes. Okay, so then that we'll
but
call
you... But you just call me auntie.
No, we call you prof. I like this. This is very good. Here she is, everybody. Your favorite. It's Prof. Elna McIntosh. How yeah. nice to see you again. Well, I'll get to him in a second.
Dr. Kali Spencer.
Come on. I love having you here.
I love it.
So, Dr. Kali Spencer, it's nice to have you here too. I mean, we don't know you at all, so forgive us if we're more excited about Elna.
It's okay.
Are you all right?
At least yeah, initially.
Don't get depressed. Can't you prescribe something to yourself in case you do get depressed about it?
Oh, no.
It? So, 15 to 45, huh? That seems to me to be... a lot younger than I thought it would be. I thought it would be men over 50, for example.
Look straight at that man.
So
it's
tell me what, Kali, what do you, is this the work that you do just around the testicles?
No, I mean, we do all the
what are you,
parts.
Urologist?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
urologists, you guys deal with the balls and the penis and the...
and the prostate.
And the prostate. Okay, now...
and the bladder and the kidneys.
I have so many questions, and I'm sure lots of guys do. So we're going to, first of all, let everybody know that they can actually call us. They can WhatsApp us. We'll take your questions very seriously because this is a serious matter. 079-748-2090. But there are probably some other things we want to ask that that might fall into the category of not being so serious. First of all, the prevalence of testicular cancer. Is this the most common cancer in men?
No.
No. What's
prostate
most,
cancer.
Prostate's the most. Mm. Now, can we start with that? I know we said we'd talk about balls, but when do we need to start checking for prostate cancer? Because you don't have to have the old finger up the backside anymore. You can now go for blood tests.
No. Well, no, that's untrue. It's
okay.
A combination. Oh. It's a combination of both. You should do both. Because the blood test doesn't always... I mean, it's you can miss cancer as well.
What so age should you start doing this?
So it's a very controversial topic. In South Africa, we're a high-risk population. So black men
why
are
is
black.
That? Is that because we don't eat properly? Is it because we're exposed to radiation? Is it because we live in unhealthy environments? We
no.
smoke,
no.
we drink?
None
what is
of that.
It?
It's because black people, black men are... predisposed genetically to
really?
Prostate cancer.
Yeah.
So, and that's everywhere in the world, not just South Africa.
Are you saying,
African-Americans...
Are you saying God is racist? Is that what
okay.
we're talking about?
Let's not go down that road. No. I mean, there's certain cancers that white people also yeah. are more prone to. It's just one of those things. So that makes us a high-risk population.
Right.
So we recommend from the age of 40 onwards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So because the world says 50.
Okay.
And then everybody
yes.
reads American research. So it's important that we read South African
so,
research.
Cause, and because the other thing is that black men get very aggressive prostate cancer and they get it early. So that's why we look at 40. Rather pick it up
I
sooner.
Suppose, that's like certain families are prone to certain genetic disorders as well.
Yeah.
So obviously in South Africa, if you're a black man, you're just more likely to develop this problem than a white dude standing next to you.
Yep. But the good thing is, in men, from the age of 10 months, you discover your hands and they go straight into the nappy. So men already start checking.
It's not like that with women with breast cancer.
No, men need to check it for us. But, you know, if you watch rugby players, they, in the scrum, they're already checking each other, I think. That's what is it when they scrum?
I don't think that's coached.
You don't actually grab.
Well, I hope it's not the prostate. I mean, maybe the...
only the locks check for prostate.
I used to be a lock in rugby. Yeah.
Really? So you understand, right?
That's got that for a while.
The cricket players, I mean, they rub that ball. They rub. So they're very, men are very aware of balls, you want to look at it like
If
that.
A man doesn't know you're watching him, if you were like on a game drive and we're watching men, they would all be standing around either touching their balls. We do it all the time.
Because you don't have privates, you have publics. That's the difference. Girls have privates, boys have publics.
So, okay, so let's just start with the prostate cancer, because you said it's first of all more aggressive in black males in South Africa than anywhere else or than other population groups.
Yeah.
And you need to have that checked from about age 40. And you can't just go for the blood test. You have to actually have the invasive doctor with the rubber glove.
It's not invasive. It's 30 seconds. Try a pap smear, Gareth. Now, that's invasive.
Well, I can't.
But then just think about it. Think about it. And we start from age 21.
That's true.
So just comparing.
A once-off test.
So you're saying man.
I'm a lonely voice here speaking.
Is it a once-off test?
Well,
if you don't have it at 40, you're never going to have it?
Unless you're high risk, then we may want to follow up more frequently or something suspicious is detected. Then
do you use a little lubricant when you do this test?
Definitely, yeah.
Anuses don't lubricate. You have to. It's Kimberly. Dry. Take water with. Water-based lubrication with.
Well, I now want to call my behind Kimberly.
Why not? Because, you know, Cape Town, however, in Gulf, is a holiday destination. People love going there. It's like, let's go to Cape Town. Very few people are like, let's detour via Kimberly. So it's just a way we all understand what I mean. It's
what do you feel for when you go up there?
Okay,
so I don't know. I don't know that area as well as I should probably.
All right.
Many of us don't. So what are we looking for?
So I mean, really, as urologists, we're just checking the prostate. The general surgeon. Would
Where
be
do you find that?
For.
Is that on the? If so you, it's just, you don't just stick your finger in.
No. It's a very directed examination. So it's the medical term is anterior. That would mean nothing to you. Towards the scrotum. So once you're in, you're going in the direction of the scrotum.
Okay,
and
it's
not very far in, maybe.
What position are these patients in when you do this?
On the left, they're lying on their left side.
And screaming.
No, never.
I heard it's like a sedation.
It's never
vacation.
Screaming. It's maybe not talking to you. But yes, that's quiet. There's silence. Yes. There's no discussion. You can't engage. There's just like.
Well, this
shuttle.
Is what happened to Sia when we did it to him live on the show last year. And you tell me if this is.
No, I've never had that. Unless they maybe got painful hemorrhoids or something.
Can you stop cheapening this very interesting conversation? Right. This man is a professional.
Sorry, maybe I shouldn't
I'm
be so
helping.
Serious.
No, please carry on.
Because it's such a serious topic.
That is
so
a serious topic.
Dr. Spencer told me that I met him once before when we did. I was the host for the Wits Medical Ball or whatever it was.
Yes,
the medical
ball.
But
one on the show.
But you, how often do you have to do these kinds of procedures? Is this a daily thing for you?
Yeah.
So it's really mundane, run of the mill.
A daily routine.
Have you ever found any really disturbing things up a man's backside?
Personally, I haven't, but obviously I have colleagues that have that work in casualties. And
you find those in casualty departments.
Yeah. So not so while you're doing prostate. It's not something that's just lurking up there and you go for your prostate and you suddenly come out with half a finger.
I'm so sorry to derail.
Just Google it. You'll see there's always some pulling
vibrators
stuff,
or
whatever.
Light bulbs. I mean,
Bulbs. Oh, that's got to be so dangerous.
Yeah, sure, if it breaks.
Luckily,
I haven't seen that. But I mean, we've seen penises and things. And
Because you're urologist, you guys actually have to do the damage control on the penis afterwards. We'll get to the penis in a second.
Okay.
The reason I went to prostate first is because prostate cancer, you said, is the most widespread. It is the cancer men are most likely to get.
Definitely. And the least likely to know about.
And you can prevent this.
Sure.
Like if you detect it early, you can do something about it and you'll be cancer free.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually curable. If you get it early and it's confined to just the prostate, we can remove it and you can be cancer free.
If you don't detect it, if you don't know about it, does it just keep growing and growing and becoming more and more of a problem?
Well, so
how will you know that you've got beyond the problem?
So it depends on the type of cancer, as I said. If it's not the high grade aggressive type, which is going to spread quickly and go everywhere, then most men actually will develop prostate cancer in their life. Most of us get old enough, but you'll die from something else if you get old enough. Correct. So by like
what does the prostate do?
So it's just a gland, and it adds secretions to your semen.
Okay, so it basically
gives some nutrition.
Okay, it's a factory that helps the sperm live as long as it needs to live to do its job.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to get a vasectomy, would you then be eliminating the risk of prostate cancer?
No.
Because you just won't have sperm.
Yeah.
But you'll still have semen.
And the semen comes from the prostate.
Yeah, but that's got nothing to do with causing prostate cancer at all.
No, but we need to know this.
Sure.
A lot of guys don't know this stuff. They know what their external genitals do, but they don't know about the rest of the reproductive system.
You know, we can talk an hour just on sperm. We must talk about sperm one of these days. Right. You know, we have a sperm bank in South Africa, a little bank.
Have you got enough people donating?
I don't know. I don't own that bank. I wish I did. No,
but I mean, you don't have any idea.
Is it like in the movies when you go there and they give you like $20 or something? You get money.
No, you earn
Do
a lot more than that.
In South Africa.
I will send him to you. You can have this discussion.
Yeah, we'd love to meet the guy.
Because it's also Andreo Kreos, which is the is it Greek? For
yes, you do. You can get paid.
So you go make a deposit and there's money in it.
Because Ben was thinking of you know, if things get really get bad, of selling a kidney. But this is much more.
You can get paid.
This is sustainable.
Your sperm and it.
This is sustainable.
Are we talking about like a couple of hundred?
Yeah.
I have no idea. We can't sell things like this.
We're not allowed to sell it. Yes.
Guys, when the going gets tough.
All right, so let's just get back. So we've kind of dealt with the prostate, but you need to. We'll all get this eventually, so you need to be aware of this, and you need to go and get it checked when you're 40. This is important.
Yes,
40 years old, off to the doctor. Lie on your side.
Gav, you had this done.
No, not yet. I'm not 40 yet. So I'm going to go and do this.
You've got Botox in your face. What's going on with you? You're looking younger and younger.
I think I'm fantastic. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Wow. That's another talk we can have about Botox next.
Yeah, we will.
This is all fascinating.
All right, so let's just deal with one thing at a time.
Drink your Concerta. Drink my Concerta. Okay,
all right, so we go to the doctor, then we lie on our side. The doctor checks that out. But you can also do the blood test as an additional check. What does that reveal? Will it reveal certain chemicals that indicate that there might be cancer?
So it looks at the enzyme which is produced in the prostate gland specifically, and if that's raised, then if the enzyme's raised, then it's suggestive of prostate cancer. It doesn't necessarily always mean that it is, because an enlarged prostate, which is something else that you can get with age, most of us will get, is benign. It's not a cancer, and it can also falsely raise the PSA.
It's called a PSA.
What's the PSA?
Prostate-specific antigen, which is just an enzyme.
You can just go to the lab and ask for it.
Correct. It's a simple blood test. So it may suggest. That's why we do it in combination with examination.
Right.
Because there's certain things you were asking. What would you feel? You'd feel an enlarged, big prostate, a cancer, which is firm and rubbery.
Is it like a bunch of grapes? Like so if a mango, you take, what are we talking about?
So if you do, they say if you go like this, you take your hand and you sort of clench your thumb and you feel this part here.
Yes.
This is what it normally feels like.
Okay, and will it feel like if there's a problem?
So when it becomes rubbery and firm, then it's more likely a benign condition. But when you start getting hard nodules, or very irregular surface, then it's more suggestive of cancer.
Jeez. What's the youngest you picked this up in a guy?
Probably at about 40. It doesn't usually go lower than 40.
But
you might get a rare case of someone in their late 30s. And generally, those are the ones where it's in the family.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a father or a grandfather or a son, so it's first-degree relatives, that's where the risk comes in.
Okay.
I think we see men at 50 when it's already been there for the past 10 years. Mm. That's when they... When it starts affecting things like they have to they can't urinate, they have to stand and push, or erections. Those are the also
erections
signs
usually
for
a very early
it's
sign.
The early
yeah.
sign.
What, the loss of erections? The inability?
Or erectile dysfunction.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank God I'm safe.
No, I'm not sharing anything with nobody anything today, all right? So you can share as much as you like.
No,
I'm just
you can. You don't, what are you going to share about your prostate? You don't have one.
No, I mean just life in the universe.
But you've already told us a lot about Cape Town.
But Dr. Spencer, so we've got that one, and then we've got the testicular cancer. That's a different thing. It's a totally different part of the body. It's
yes.
in the ball sack. We both know most healthy males have two testicles. Got some friends who've lost some in sporting accidents and that kind
and
of thing.
Testicular torsion, yes, which most people also don't know about.
We must talk about testicular torsion. Mm. But how would you know if you had testicular cancer?
All right. So usually it's a mass that develops that wasn't there before. That's, you know, probably the most significant.
And what would that mass feel like?
So also it may be irregular. It may be hard, it may be craggy, there may be a little nodule there. So those are sort of the findings. It's not your normal smooth, you know, smooth testicle.
This would be something visible to the naked eye, right?
Not necessarily. No, you would have to feel.
It's in the scrotum, dude. Yeah. How are you going to see it?
Well, as in
we do get them where the men have neglected them, but obviously he must have known it was there. I mean, the testicle can grow to a significant size.
What, like tennis ball size?
Yeah. Yes.
Would there be any sort of pain, or would it be you could be in no pain whatsoever?
You can
and
have
still
no pain. Actually, that it's painless. Usually painless. Only
so it's not like
10%.
Oh my gosh, it now hurts. I must get them checked.
No, why is it
only
painless?
10%.
Because your balls are tremendously sensitive. If you get kicked in the balls, you are in the same degree of pain that a woman in childbirth is in.
That's true.
That's a comparison. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
How come they're so sensitive if you get kicked in the balls, but some vicious cancer is busy destroying your scrotum and you don't feel it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I may not necessarily have the answer for.
We've got nerves there.
Yeah, it's the classic finding is painless. Only 10% of them have pain, and that's usually when you get like a little bleed, you know, because they're quite vascular and it bleeds into the tumor.
Right.
But otherwise, it's painless.
But I think, let's explain,
maybe
when
the
you just feel the healthy one, because I love to call it the galludis interchange, you know, where everything gets together. Because you know what I'm talking about,
yes.
Hey? Because there's a thin spaghetti running.
What's it called? The
vas deferens.
Yes.
Right.
Then you get the galludis interchange, which I think is the epididymis.
Okay, but now that is not that's not cancer.
No, this is normal.
That's the normal weird stuff you feel in there. Because you don't just feel two marbles.
No.
You don't just have two balls.
Complex
apparatus.
You've
got a whole system going on down there.
Sure.
So if you don't know what's normal, how would you know abnormal?
Yeah, right.
And that's the important
thing.
I always think I'm abnormal, even if I'm normal.
Yeah, this is not helping for hypochondriacs, but I really do. I really do want to know.
So no, this is very common.
Yeah.
Guys get very paranoid about their bits, and things do. There are benign things that can happen there. So a hydrocele is a collection of fluid that comes around the testicle and develops with time. It's completely benign and normal, and it's just a collection. It's a little sac.
Uh-huh.
So it's related to something we were born with, but with time and age, it can fill up with water, with fluid, and it's just a collection around the ball. And some guys may think that that's testicular cancer.
Okay, but that isn't.
But it isn't. But it's good to check it out.
Sure.
There's no harm in going to get it seen.
And we'll you don't want too much collection of water there. You have very big balls.
That's right.
Yeah.
You
have big
and
balls.
You've seen those guys who have very big balls. You know those ones that in the National Geographic and... In those medical magazines.
We're talking about humans now.
Yeah, of course. But there was a guy I saw once, gave me nightmares. This guy had a ball sack as big as his torso.
Oh, I know. He's talking about elephantiasis, which is like a parasitic infection.
And this guy, he could basically use his balls as a hoppity hop if he wanted to get around.
But medical condition. And then the undescended testes, so they are...
Yeah, and then the other thing, the other common thing, which a lot of guys get confused with cancer, is epididymal cyst. It's a little cyst that in the little
galludis interchange.
There's a small little cyst that can develop, and mm-hmm. it's also benign.
So I'm still just unclear. What should it normally feel like? What should you be able to feel down there?
Smooth. There's two. There's
should be two.
Elna's busy doing the hand gesture when you juggle the ball.
No, because they actually don't. They slightly, the one's slightly higher than the other, isn't it?
Yeah, always.
And then some men pack to the left, pack to the right. I think that's also a choice. So there's nothing wrong with going left or right.
Yeah.
And then there's the foreskin, which we are not going to get to today,
that's
are we?
It's a whole other.
It is a whole other.
What, you get foreskin cancer?
No.
But you get
penile cancer, which is very rare, but you can get it.
Where does that manifest?
So generally in uncircumcised men.
Yeah.
And at the foreskin and over the glans, the head of the penis.
What a terrible place to have anything happen to you that's bad.
Yeah, that's not a nice...
What a wonderful place to have good things happen to you, but what a terrible, terrible place to have bad things happen to you.
Dr. Spencer has done a lot of research on HIV and the foreskin, and that's why I'm saying let's leave that for another day. Maybe for Dr. Cindy, but...
No, but we can definitely talk about that.
No, because
that
we don't agree. Yeah. I'm saying uncircumcised. He says circumcise him. I'm saying save the foreskin. He says now you see it, now you don't.
Oh, you're both activists on either side of this. I got you.
We agree to disagree.
So back to the balls.
Yes.
How do you treat the testicular cancer? Okay. Let's say you discover it.
So that has to come out. It's surgical removal. That's a must. And then we degrade it and see what kind of cancer it is. Mm-hmm. And then we, depending on the type, sometimes they may need to get chemotherapy as well. So,
Again,
which I think scares a lot of guys.
Sure.
And then they leave
but,
it.
But you'd rather have your balls cut out if there's something wrong with them.
Correct.
Than have them stay in there and kill your whole body.
Correct. Because it spreads up into the chest, into the
abdomen.
Did you know that Dr. Spencer was very, very good at PlayStation as a child?
Yeah.
That is why he's a surgeon, because they do robotic surgery.
Do you?
So it's like playing PlayStation. It's like Grey's Anatomy. They all look on a screen there, and they're playing PlayStation. It's amazing. You must watch.
It's actually, we have a fun job, actually, because we also do laser with stones. We play with lasers, and we do
look at that Grey's Anatomy picture there.
Laparoscopy surgery.
Look where the surgeon is looking.
So you don't even, you're not even near the balls, really.
Well, that's a different surgery.
Where do they make the incision?
No, we don't do robotic surgery for the testicles.
Testes, that is for prostate.
Prostate.
But look how they operate.
How do you get up there? Do you also go through the asshole?
The abdomen. No, abdomen. We actually don't operate in the asshole at all.
We need to come here more often. We just have to do anatomy 101.
I think so.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that amazing?
I've got the anatomy part. I'm not sure about how the surgery part works.
Yeah, so testicle, I mean, there is no fancy surgery. You open up the... Well, it actually goes from the groin. You can't go through the sac. You go from the groin and you bring out the testicles through the groin. You sort of deliver it. It's like a cesarean section.
Yeah.
The testicle gets delivered through your groin.
Above your hip bone.
Well, not the bone, but just above in your groin. Yeah. Because if you deliver it through the scrotum, it changes the grading of the tumor. It can spread through the skin and it becomes a more advanced stage. So we actually deliver it up through here.
Wow. And you would take out both or just the one?
No, just the one.
Okay.
And then if you can afford it, then you can get an implant.
Yeah.
You can get a testicular implant.
Just like a breast implant.
But it's purely cosmetic, right? It doesn't do anything.
So in the state, I mean, where we work, the government won't pay for things like that.
How did you decide, out of all the parts of the body to focus on, that this was the part that you were going to take interest in? Urology. I've always wanted to know, why anyone would want to be a urologist or a proctologist or a gynecologist, because those areas seem to me to be, it's not like a sexy business. You know, you may be interested in, all humans are interested in each other's genitals, but my God, that's not a pleasant thing to do. To have to deal with diseased ones and problem ones and ones that aren't working properly, and that's not a fun job. Why did you decide this?
Well, I mean, yes and no, it can be a fun job. I agree, yes, it's not glamorous.
You got a great sense of humor, is this part of it, while we're out and we're under, are you laughing at our penises?
No.
No?
Not all the time.
What are the other what other upshot could there possibly be for being a urologist?
First of all, let me tell you, you have to be smart, because you first have to get in.
Yeah.
It's not just a speciality.
It's a super speciality, huh?
How many urologists are there that you know of in South Africa?
Sure, I don't know what the number is.
Might be a lot.
It's a very small fraternity. It's not a large number. So,
and 30% of them are over 60, and in the next 10 years we're going to lose them because they're going to retire. So, and there's not 30% coming in. So that's the other problem. That's why.
So, I mean, look, it's from a lot. There's many factors. From a lifestyle point of view, out of all the surgeries, urology is a great one. We don't have many emergencies.
And it's not huge trauma all the time, right?
No. So, I mean, torsion would be like one of our major emergencies.
Since you brought up torsion, we'll get back to your question in a second. What is torsion?
So, some of us are born with... So the ball sits on like a string. Let's make it. Yep, some of our strings are longer. So the string is a spermatic cord, and some of us it can twist around.
Excuse me.
So the ball twists around on the cord, and then when it twists around, the blood supply to the ball is running through that cord. So when it twists around, then it cuts off the blood supply and it starts dying.
It's like a hose pipe. You know when you take a hose pipe and you clamp it.
So it's like a testis committing suicide on itself.
Does that happen? That's instantaneously.
Well, over some time, within a few hours, if you don't untwist it within, say, about between 6 and 12 hours, then it's gone.
You're going to lose it,
And what causes that?
So it's something you're born with, and there's certain precipitants. So you climb in a hot bath or a cold bath, but even in your sleep. But you're too old to have it now. It's normally in teenagers. Teenage. And young people.
Oh, he's just out of the woods.
Okay. I take hot baths.
Doctor, what about, because you mentioned the balls that they go cold and they go hot, and they, the ball temperature, because they've got different cells they're producing there. Mm-hmm. They're producing sperm cells that need to be just a slightly lower temperature than temperature. So that's why they hang outside the body.
Yes, you've done your research.
Because the balls are not an attractive thing, and nobody really goes. I've never met anyone who said, you know what I need in my life is to see more balls. No matter how how much of a straight woman they are who's into men, or how much of a gay man they are that's into men, nobody likes the balls. They really do get the worst
rap
of any of the organs, because they look so terrible too. They come in this hangy sack.
I mean, even with the surgery, we're not concerned about the cosmesis, really.
No, you've never looked at balls and gone, oh, now that is a fine pair of balls, objectively as a doctor. No?
No, we don't. As I said, when we do the surgery, I mean, cosmesis is always our primary goal, but we're not concerned if the scar's a little bit.
And you don't get people, you've never had people come into you and say, I'd like a better looking pair of balls. They don't, because they just accept that they're the most ugly thing on your body. Why are our scrotal sacs so wrinkly and hairy? What is that all about?
Sure. maybe Elna can answer on this one.
What's that all about, Elna? Come on.
I suppose the hair, to keep it. No, you don't
skin.
Want it warm.
It's just an extension of your skin. So if things, let me just tell you why it's important to have Dr. Spencer here today. Is because if things are in the genitals, people always assume this must be sexually transmitted, just because of the nature.
Not true.
In Cape Town, people are like, this is that place, but so often it's not, and then we have to now our referrals to go, because people can get like ingrown hairs. Some people shave, others don't, but. Mm. Skin needs to be protected, and we want to keep that semen warm, certain temperatures.
How many degrees below body?
What about body temperature?
No, it's just below. It's just like below, a degree or two below.
And
that's why, as you said, it needs to be outside.
What is the reason for those half cells, effectively, to be kept at a degree or so less than
so
the
it's
rest?
It's for fertility, as you said. It's all related to fertility.
Huh.
But we don't know the exact mechanisms. But we know that balls that haven't descended, because remember they start in the abdomen, so those that are
they're
in
inside
abdomen,
you when you're a little kid.
Correct. And if they stay there, those ones can become infertile. So we do know that one of the theories is the temperature.
Is the size of the balls important?
No. Well...
I'm just seeing this poor person who's just walked in and she's like, what on earth?
Size matters.
No, if you have balls or you have really small balls, does that indicate anything?
So small balls, yes. I mean, if it's atrophic or small, maybe it's lost function.
Okay.
Maybe, as we said, from a torsion or a mistorsion or an undescended. When they're undescended, they're often smaller.
Okay.
But bigger balls, though, I don't think makes sense.
Though we do like to use that phrase, grow some balls.
Yes.
No luck.
Yes.
Yes, because you
it's
see,
like so male.
This
so
is, you mentioned how when we think about the genitals, we always think every problem there is sexually transmitted. Mm. There's also the problem of you associate your masculinity, whether you like it or not. Subconsciously, you're associating it with your genital area. Mm. So yes. That's why guys are particularly obsessed with their penises and the size of their penises, and we've got penis envy in some cases.
And that is why prostate cancer, because it's people link that directly. This English is very difficult for me. Yeah. With masculinity.
Yes.
You are going to
emasculate.
Thank you.
But that's a similar problem to what some women go through when they have to have, you know,
a mastectomy.
Exactly. It's like, well, it's my identity.
Well, look, and it's not untrue, because the thing with prostate cancer, it's hormonally driven. So it's driven by your testosterone. Mm. And very often our treatments for it is to remove your testosterone supply. So that's where the emasculation comes in.
And does that immediately have an... Like if you're in your 30s, let's say your 20s even.
Yeah.
And you have the testosterone supply, which comes from the balls, stops. What happens to a guy? Does he become more feminine?
So, I mean, you can develop more feminine features. Yeah.
Because we've got some estrogen in us anyway, right?
Anyway, so that becomes more predominant, the estrogen, once your testosterone is lowered. You're not going to turn into a full-on woman. No. But, you know, certain, your voice may soften, or, you know, your hair, you may lose some of the hair, and, you know, your fat distribution and things like that may change. So... yes, it can. I mean, I really don't want to scare people
If you look at the opposite then again, so men who go to gym and just pump themselves full of steroids, that does a lot of damage to testes.
What happens to the balls if you do that? If you those guys who take all the steroids, I've seen these people. What
they also can become atrophic or smaller or shrink.
Why does that happen?
It's all related to, there's all feedback pathways and related to the hormones.
Oh, the body then is picking up.
That there's this exogenous source of.
So we don't need to make any, so we can shrink.
Yep.
Wow.
And bodybuilders and people out there, and because you can get testosterone injections and things everywhere. Yeah. Shocked and horrified sometimes.
But people do this because they want to get big.
Mm.
And in your 20s and 30s, you don't really think, oh, I want to have children.
Does it have an effect on fertility?
Sure.
Yeah. Because remember, if we look at our president at 75, we don't know. Let's not use the president. Men can make children up to any very age.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Whereas with women, our shelf life shrinks. But men who go on testosterone that early, they are not going to be making children in their 80s.
Does our sperm count decrease as we get older?
Yes, it can. It does.
But not a significant amount, right?
No. I mean, we're not all the same. So
yeah.
Some people more, and as we said, it depends on what, you know, hormones or whatever you're exposed to. But certainly it does decline, but there's still a potential. It's not like females where, you know, menopause comes and then that's the end of that.
Oh. I tell you what do decline.
What?
So when you're young, your refractory, your recovery period, so you can have many rounds.
Yes.
You can have round after
lots
round.
Lots of orgasms.
But as you get older, so
you're
maybe
not able to.
It takes longer. So the recovery, the refractory period takes longer, which is not a bad thing because...
gives her a break.
Really wants, yes.
Yeah. I mean,
who really wants six.
This whole idea of like having to last forever as stupid, right? Yeah.
What's the average refractory time? I'm asking for a friend.
So Masters and Johnson. So it really depends. I think young men come quickly, and then they recover quickly. But as they get older,
are we talking about like a couple of minutes, like 5 minutes, and you should?
Just take out the stopwatch because that's what Masters and Johnson. Then give us feedback.
I'll ask my
your
friend.
Yeah. Get your friend.
Clearly. Pasir will have to take a few days to find out from his friend.
Yes.
Do men become less horny as they get older?
You know what? We live in Sandton, wherever people live. They have busy lives. They have a lot of other things. When you're young, you don't have a lot to do. You know, you got to study a bit,
hang around.
But as you get older...
You know, I have days where I could care less. And other days where I can't stop thinking about sex. Now,
But that's your personality, obsessive compulsive.
Yeah, but it's male. It's male as well. Like, it's how we are. Yeah, do you think we get better with age? Like, I'm hoping when I reach 50 or 60, I'll calm the fuck down. You know? Am I right?
I can't guarantee anything. I
mean, so in other words, I don't have any. There's no stop period for this.
No, I mean, we have men in their late 70s that are still highly active. They're coming for their injections and their Viagra, and they keep going.
Wow! Finally, something to look forward to in an old age.
No. Yeah. There's no old age that you look forward to. What about? Hang on, Ben. Let me just put you on.
That's reassuring for you, Sia, seeing as you're quite keen to go that route at some stage.
Let's just be optimistic.
What about this erectile dysfunction stuff?
Yes.
Now, when are we expecting that to kick in with most men? Or should it not ever really kick in with all men?
No, it shouldn't, actually.
You should be able to do that that erection stuff well into advanced old age.
Yes, up to your 70s.
I'm holding on for that, yeah.
However, the Viagra research, 52% of men over 40 can suffer.
But so about a half the men are...
So all the other things...
It's entirely lifestyle.
Lifestyle related, thank you.
So if you're entirely a fat... Lifestyle. Person, your circulatory system
is
under huge pressure. Oh, smoking.
Smoking.
Oh, okay.
And people don't realize it. They think lung cancer.
Another erection.
Yeah.
Another erection.
Really?
Stompy's lying. You know, you're only given so many. Each stompy, there's another one gone. How much do you smoke?
I don't, but I'll start thinking about that when I just see people smoke from
just
now
tell
on.
Them.
Just like,
look
oh,
at those erections.
Here we go. Six erections gone.
So, wow. That
would make a really great ad.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there is one. You've seen the cigarette, limp cigarette.
Yeah. They should put
Why do cigarettes affect the erection?
So it's what this is how I explain it to my patients. The cigarettes damage the inside of your blood vessels, and they cause deposition of fats, atherosclerosis. Hmm. And that process happens in your brain, so you get a stroke. It happens in your heart, you get a heart attack. It happens in your kidneys, you get kidney failure, and it happens in your penis. So your penis fails too.
Is it the nicotine specifically?
No.
Well, it's a combination of factors. We don't actually know what they put in
cigarettes. Isn't the nicotine that's the addictive part of the whole thing?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
There's horrible chemicals.
Thousands of chemicals that go in. It's the only product that's ever been designed when used exactly as it should be used that will kill you in the end, in the whole world.
All right, so Lucas has got a question, and Lucas has volunteered already to have his balls tested this morning. So, Lucas, yes, go ahead.
What? Okay, yeah, I've got a question. I don't know if this is true or not. Like, I remember in primary school, there was this doctor who told us that in winter, like, if you check yourself, you'll find that sometimes you only have one ball because it's cold. So I want to know if that is true.
Does one ball disappear when it's cold? It's like a kangaroo that hops in the pouch.
So, I mean, the balls do lift up with the in the cold as a protective mechanism.
Yes.
But just, they shouldn't
disappear.
If you
want to test that, just climb into the sea in Cape Town.
Yeah. That's true.
When you orgasm. But,
yeah.
Oh, do they pull up when you orgasm?
So they are mobile. Uh-huh. Some men have them more mobile than others. And some can even retract. They're called retractile testes. Oh. Back up to the abdomen.
Wow.
Or up into the groin.
That's like a superpower.
That is a party trick I don't want to start showcasing.
So in summing, yes. But in most of us, no. I mean, it covers up a little bit, but it shouldn't disappear. So
can it happen that they don't come back? I'm just asking.
It can, but usually in kids.
And then it's a problem if they don't.
Yeah.
And
you want them down. You want them down
enough. In primary school.
That's what they taught you at primary school?
Yeah.
Wow. Very open-minded primary school. Tell me, with Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, no.
No, that we needed to go here, of course. Okay. Now, he's just had the cock and balls chopped off.
She knows.
I'm sorry. She's had the stuff removed. Now, they've made it into some kind of a vagina for her.
Yep.
No, that's surgery. What you guys do.
We're part of the surgery. We can reconstruct, but it's a combination between the gynies, the urologist.
What happens?
Plastic.
Do they turn? I heard that they take her penis and they turn it inside out, and they make a hole. What happened? How does this work?
So yes, so they take parts of the penis, obviously for sexual stimulation, and they
part of, that becomes the clitoris, the new clitoris. And then they...
How do you know what part to choose?
No, it's your head of the penis is the
That's
most...
That's very big, though, compared
well,
to
trim
a clitoris.
It down, they can do a clitoroplasty.
There's a lot of trimming down. Okay, let's go with that. So I'm trying to imagine how
okay,
that would be.
And then, right. Yes, they create, as you say, some kind of cavity. and very often they can use the lining of bowel to get that sort of...
Oh, fantastic.
Fantastic. Sort of satiny feel, I guess. All I don't right. know. to mimic it. Yeah, that's sort of in a nutshell. It's obviously more... The urology part is for urinary function. I mean, we want to make sure that they can pee.
Is this a very dangerous operation?
Not really. No.
Not?
And that's why it's important that we do talk about this, because it becomes a laughing matter, and it's not.
No.
It's a serious surgery that gets done, and that's why people can't just go to some backstreet up the road person advertising... The specialists that do this, and clearly Caitlyn Jenner went to super duper specialists in LA.
It's a multidisciplinary team. There's a lot of psychology, a lot of psychiatry behind it. I mean, you've really got to be sure before you make any steps.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a team. It's a team effort. It's not just one.
Waiting
specialist.
List 25 years at Grytus. Is it Grytus?
25 years. So in other words, if you decide that you are a transgender, you're misidentified when you're young. It's going to take you 25 years to get the surgery.
If you don't have money.
If you don't have money. So if you have money, you can go to Thailand. You can go to the US. We have very skilled doctors in this country.
Have we figured out the? I know we've done a lot of work, especially recently. There's been quite a lot of progress in terms of the hormones and what they do and how they interact with, you know, the brain chemistry and all the rest of it. Are we any closer to being able to say this is now, here's the numerous clauses of things that the hormones do and the way they affect our behavior and everything else? It's hard to put an exact figure on some of this stuff.
Not really. I think hormones, we're pretty... We know what there is to know about hormones, but obviously once a hormone in every body works differently, and the levels change, and how you respond, and how your receptors.
So is it super subjective?
There's a lot of variation, but for the most part, it's pretty constant, and you know it's going to have specific effects, but the hormones work. They do work.
All right, there's some other questions. I know Ben and Sia and Lucas have some more, but we've got here. Gareth, that's just a stupid question about Rachel Dolezal. Do electric cigarettes also affect erections as badly as normal cigarettes? John?
The trouble with electric cigarettes is I don't think we know enough about them, and they haven't been around for long enough for us to have long-term research. We don't know if they cause cancer.
The Cancer Association says dead against, same as cigarettes, but though what you're saying is true.
Yeah,
we don't really know.
But I always say we weren't born to inhale smoke.
Yeah.
It's not something we weren't to, otherwise
what
we
is it called? Wisping.
But what twisping, if it's a natural herb?
Socially isolating yourself is what it's called.
Well, that's a whole nother story.
What about marijuana?
So marijuana can cause atrophy of the testicles, and it can also have an effect on fertility if you're doing it chronically over a long period of time.
What? Here's a question now. What if I have two kids and I don't want any more? Can I just remove my prostate? As a preemptive move?
No.
Preemptive strike. You need that prostate.
Yeah, you do. Keep it. Don't remove
it. Just have a vasectomy and bank your sperm at the sperm
correct.
Bank of South Africa.
Vasectomy if you don't want any more kids. That's fine.
And that's not a difficult operation at all.
No, that's quick. You can do it under local anesthetic in 15 minutes.
Ooh. Yeah, because it used to be a big deal, and guys were very sensitive about it, but these days it's very easy
surprising,
to get that.
Yeah, but it's not as common. Not as many men, I don't think, go for it.
And shouldn't there be therapy behind that? You make it sound like you can just do it. You know,
well, there's a lot
lunch.
Of counseling. Yeah, I mean, we really have to be sure before we would do the procedure.
And that's why we bank sperm nowadays. Mm-hmm. So, because to reverse, isn't that the...
Well, not reverse, but yeah, I mean, if you...
If they want to undo, what is the word?
Look, you can undo a vasectomy, but it's not very successful. There is a procedure to undo.
Yeah, there are better ways if you need to have a kid,
but,
right?
Yeah.
So tell us about the first penis transplant, because I'm so proudly South African that
and that's
it happened.
Something we've done, right?
We've done, and it's still
Prof.
going
Mavis,
strong.
Stellenbosch.
In Stellenbosch.
We talked to him, I remember.
Oh, you've had a. Okay.
Oh, we spoke to him that
but
morning.
The follow up, I mean, it's still working till now. So it's been very successful.
This is a thing that we need to take seriously too, because we have these initiation schools in South Africa where sometimes these guys get their penises very badly mutilated by some guy with a rock or a sharp stick or some other terrible stuff. And it's like some passage into manhood, but it's just some barbaric relic of kind of an unnecessary...
But we don't speak about those men. We speak about the deaths. Every year we say 17 men died.
We don't
died,
talk about the injured
but
guys.
But never about those who have...
And those guys could end up furious because your penis, if it doesn't work and you're a man, you never really know how to deal with that.
Yeah. And these are young men, 18 and round about there.
There's no way for you to figure out what's going on.
We have to, we have to be culturally sensitive, you know. I mean,
if you're mutilating people's penises or doing female genital mutilation in Somalia,
different thing.
No, it's not. It's the same thing.
No.
You don't need to take a stick or a rock or a sharp implement to a child of any. Do not do that to someone under 18 without their consent. It is a form of vicious child molestation.
You can't compare the female mutilation or circumcision to the male circumcision. Look, I agree. I mean, we get, obviously, the botch-ups from these events, but you have to be culturally sensitive. And, you know, what I sometimes say, well, you can have a medical circumcision but still do all the rituals, you know, just so that there's some relevance to it. But yeah, we do, unfortunately, every now and again.
No, you see these horrible cases. Do you have to fix them up?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. What's the biggest penis you've ever dealt with?
Oh, waiting for that size.
It had to.
It had to.
Very important.
I mean, we don't routinely measure them.
But have you ever walked into the theater? Da 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 da. You're busy listening to your favorite song, and suddenly you go, "Oh Jesus!" Take a look in this, like
obviously,
python lying there.
Yeah, I mean you. Be blind not to see.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say probably, I don't know the size, but I'd say mid thigh.
Excuse me?
And that was without growing. That was just showing.
Yeah.
So we don't know the potential of growing.
Yes.
I don't know the final length.
Was this person of a darker chocolatey
hue?
Yeah. Oh. Fine.
I don't want to generalize, but yes.
Listen, we'll take risking with testicular cancer.
I've done the research in that department because we had a penis size competition I got fired from campus radio for.
Oh, and
you didn't.
No, I did. I got fired.
Ducks radio was never the same.
I'm telling you. And
that's a great idea.
We got a dancing girl, Rana, from the local titty bar, and she came in and she did the measurements for us, and we had an accurate scientific chart made, and the black guys did win.
Wow.
And they were chosen at random. They volunteered. So that was the proof, and I regard that as a scientific...
And were they from Central Africa?
No, they were all South Africans, and as far as I could tell, at that point, they were all resident in the Gauteng area.
Damn it.
I mean, there is work on this. There are studies, actual scientific studies.
Who conducts such?
I don't know. The Europeans, I think they're bored.
We have real problems here. Like,
exactly,
we're trying to figure out how to deal with testicular cancer, prostate cancer, HIV,
we don't have time for that.
Initiation injuries. They over there are bored. Their penises are all fine. They're functioning just hunky dory. So all they need to do is measure each other's penises.
No, they come into Africa and do that, though.
Your research on HIV and circumcision.
Yes.
Your work.
So why circumcision? Is beneficial, protective. So it's 60% protective to the male.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Protects you 60%.
To be circumcised is likelier to... It will put you at an advantage.
Yeah. So if your condom broke during intercourse and you were now exposed, you're 60% protected. That's what it means. It doesn't mean you can go around and have unprotected sex because you were circumcised.
Now, that doesn't make sense to me because there's an extra layer then. You know, Dr. McIntosh, what I'm saying
is whole other anatomy and the physiology of the cells.
There's specific cells in the inside of your foreskin which are more prone to absorbing the HIV virus.
Oh my God.
So So in your uncircumcised foreskin as well, the secretions accumulate and pool there, the sexual secretions, and then you've got these cells that are highly receptive to the virus, and they take it up. Wow. And the other thing is that you've got a frenulum, that little sort of fold or flap on the inside of the foreskin, which can tear during traumatic intercourse.
Oh, it happened to Ben.
Yep, happened to me.
Ooh. And then you've got an open wound.
One of those sharing shows. Yeah.
Well, not so much traumatic. My urologist told me I was just growing out of it. My foreskin, that is.
Well, good for you, Ben. Most of us, that's finished in cloud by like 12. But Ben kept on growing.
I was a late bloomer.
So that's how big head Ben comes.
You're right.
That's essentially where it comes from.
And then, and then all the jewelry that people have.
Oh, yes, these piercings and things.
Oh, yes.
Do you often...
We've seen beads. They put under the skin of the penis for ribbed for extra pleasure, like a ribbed condom. Yeah. They actually put beads or beans.
Now, who puts?
I don't know.
Bored people.
Yeah.
Often prisoners.
Because you're not doing this. They can't check in with you and go, Doc, can you put in some beans?
No, I won't do it. Medically, legally, I can't do that. But I've done circumcisions where they popped out.
But you've got to be so careful because the penis is a very blood-intensive organ.
Yeah, it's very vascular.
Right. So you will, if you make an incision there, she's going to bleed.
She's going to bleed. So we can put tourniquets on to stop the bleeding. Depends which part of the penis you're cutting. The head, the top, the pink part.
Oh, my
God. Or whatever color it is.
Can only imagine.
That bleeds a lot.
The worst, right?
Yeah. Hmm. That bleeds.
Pearly penile papula.
Sounds like a starter.
The pearly penile papula.
The PPPs.
Starters.
Horrifying.
No, but I get those are the questions that I get all the time.
What is it?
Dr. Spencer.
So it's a benign thing. Some men are the head of the penis. There's little white spots.
They're like pearls around the neck.
And that's where the name pearls comes from. And some men think that it's cancer. They get very worried about
this. And women think it's human papillomavirus. They think it's warts.
Yeah.
And it's
or smegma. Yeah. We didn't discuss smegma.
Smegma, yes.
We must talk about that.
So that's normal?
Yes.
These little white, pearly...
The little pretty things. Yeah.
Look at this. We said we would only have about a half hour for this. We've been talking for an hour about this.
We must go and save lives.
Can I tell you something? Mabali is not here today, and I think she might have done it on purpose because she might have known that you guys are coming. Mm-hmm. She doesn't really care about penises except for her pleasure. She's not interested in the health of our penises at all. She wanted us to have a full... free hour with you so we could ask all these questions.
Okay. Last question from my part.
More from
crossing your legs. Is that bad? Does that stop circulation? It's fine.
No. If you'd like now, you're not crossing.
What about cycling?
So it's fine. Okay.
What about cycling? What about hot baths?
Yeah, cycling is a problem.
Yes.
I totally agree.
You've got to cut that out of your life.
But no, not completely. I mean, if you're doing...
The doctor said...
No.
Like marathons and stuff, it is a problem for fertility and testicular cancer.
Nuts, hey? The cyclists call it numb nuts.
Mm. Okay.
So you've got to ride properly, lift out. But the mountain bikers, they get that crushing injuries because they come down.
Because they come down on the seat on their balls.
Yeah.
They're falling on the balls.
It's about how you ride, how you train.
Doesn't happen you play golf.
Doc, what kind of underwear would you say is the most sensible to wear if you care about and love your balls, if you don't want them to be painful or to undergo any kind of trauma or to feel too tight or too loose? What would you say is the correct underwear? Do you care about
that?
I've
ever prescribed underwear before. I don't think it makes a difference. I think it's just about being comfortable.
Okay.
After our surgeries, we want them up. We end circumcision. We want it up.
You don't want anything too tight
that's rubbing against the wound.
Those Ellen boxer shorts.
Just don't dress like the Bee Gees, basically.
Not so tight and not so loose.
I suppose tight jeans. Yeah, you don't want to.
Would you recommend anything to those? There are some dirty people in the world who prefer not to wear underwear at all. Do you have a problem with that?
I don't think it makes a difference. I mean,
But going to sleep without any underwear is preferable, right?
We're talking about medical stuff and not your love life.
No, really.
Yeah, I think these are all myths. It's not like a grandmother's myth or a fish wife's tale.
Yeah, these are stupid questions.
Maybe you answer them already.
Sexually, I'd say we sleep without.
Okay, so now if you are a guy and you want to get tested, what's the easiest process? Do you have to go see a urologist
Tested for what now?
So if you want to get your balls checked, right?
Ben wants to do it.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just think you should.
You don't have to see a urologist. Any doctor should be able to examine the balls. But I mean, if you've got a partner, you know, your partner could also examine your balls for you.
Okay.
B&B test, breast and balls.
Yeah. You do a baseline test and then you just follow it up sort of monthly or every few months and just see that nothing's changed. Okay. But if you want to see a doctor, yes, a GP, and if he finds something special, then he'll send you to the urologist.
Find something special.
Well, I think we got to do a follow-up. There's lots to still talk about.
Yeah.
I think we must get into this whole thing about HIV at some point. We must also... There's endless amounts of territory to cover here, and we've filled up an hour already.
Please, can we get the sperm bank guy? I think it'll be a fascinating conversation. Dory actually said to me the other day, would you ever consider sperm banks? Because if you do, morally, would you ever be okay with the fact that you could have a part of a child out there?
So it's not like that movie where there were 700 and something children.
Yeah.
I think and five.
In South Africa, like in America, you can find out who the parents are, but in South Africa, you can't.
Huh.
So you'll never know who your child is.
This is so interesting.
So we'll find them. Andrea Kreos, I will...
Dr. Spencer, Professor McIntosh, let's just quickly to remind people, you can actually order a nuts soap, Know Thy Nuts soap on a rope. You can go to the following website, go to mensfoundation.co.za and you'll find all the info there. That's mensfoundation.co.za.
Fantastic. It's all part of the Movember drive.
Very good.
So in November, we're all going to grow moustaches, but April was...
I won't do that.
Well, the men are going to grow moustaches.
I will have some women can as well.
I'll have my balls checked. That's what I'm going to do.
Gareth, you would look so good with a moustache.
I would look horrendous.
You would look brilliant with it.
Thank you very much. Very nice to talk to you guys. And thank you, Dov.
And go look at my website, please. Safer Sex.
There we go.
S-A-F-E-R. Safer
Yes,
Sex.
Prof. McIntosh, we've got to get you back in here regularly. People love you. They go crazy on the messages here. They just love... Dr. Spencer's great. Professor McIntosh is great. They love you.
Oh, well,
you got to come back.
Well, we'll come back.
All right. Thank you so much to both of you. Thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you, Sia. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Lucas. Thank you, Balesa. And we will see you tomorrow. I don't even have time for the unnews this morning. Got to get out of here. We got to get out of here. And here's your favorite song, Prof. It's called Big Balls, just for you. CliffCentral.com.